Good afternoon, everybody. Hopefully, I don't sound too weird. I got like a little bit of a chest cold going on. I thought I was fine after this past weekend, but I'll talk about that a little bit more later on in the show. I figured I'd just do a live stream real quick because of all the stuff that had happened today. Kamala Harris announced Walz. What the hell is his name? I don't even remember. Tim Walz or something like that. Walls. Tim Walls. There we go. Yeah, that was right. And I didn't really touch on the weird stuff recently, but yeah, I figured I'd talk about that today. So you guys get a bonus show this week. I'm waiting for my guests tomorrow to confirm. It's gonna be a cool show. I apologize. I wasn't on 5 till midnight yet last night, but as we'll kind of go into in a little bit. Now I had a very, very good weekend, but I was pretty beat up by the end of it. So I and bonus points if you understand why I titled the show the way I did. But yeah, we are definitely living in weird times, and we'll kind of go on to define, or at least how I kind of see this word. But yeah, good afternoon, good evening, good night, wherever you are, however you are. I hope you're doing well. It is Tuesday afternoon, August 6th, when I'm recording this, live streaming it. So yeah, we're gonna talk about weird. We're gonna talk about the weekend that I had. And talk about some other stuff that's on my mind. I don't know how long I'll go, but if there's people in the chat, I'll be here as long as you guys like. So without further ado, oh, you know what? Sorry. Tigerfitness.com through the link below for everything that I use day in, day out. You can see those supplements right there, as well as Fox & Sons Coffee. Make sure you use code Kyle at checkout. And I have a new sponsor, or so my wife does, and it's called Deemed Fit, which have a bunch of like fitness clothing. This is not a shirt that they have. But my wife bought some shirts. She bought me a shirt, and I like this stuff. It's a way to support like first responders and stuff like that, and that's why she kind of leaned into that. So if you go to the link below, you can get a discount through their website. I plan on buying more stuff, but if the code doesn't automatically populate in the website, use code Sarah with an H, SARAHM, at checkout, and you'll get a little discount, and let them know that the Matovic family had sent you. So without further ado, let's rock and roll here. And boom, welcome back, everybody. I hope you're doing well. As I said in the intro there, I'm either coming down with a little bit of a cold, or I'm still kind of recovering from this weekend. So for those who didn't know or aren't aware, I do play in a band called A Common Crown, which hopefully you all know that, and hopefully you like the music by now. But we played two shows with Flaw. Saturday night at the Raindrop Inn, which is where we opened for Hinder, except for instead of the outdoor show, we did the indoor show, the indoor stage, that is. Our friends John the Deep opened up. They're great. Always enjoy hanging with them, playing with them. And then it was us, and then Flaw, and then we played Sunday night with Flaw as well, which both shows were a lot of fun. Sunday went a little bit off the rails. I don't know that I want to talk about that too much because I don't want to besmirch anybody's reputation or anything like that. But regardless, I thought we played a really, really good show. So if you become a member on the YouTube channel, you too can see. What the heck? Okay, there we go. I always post all the footage from my bands for members only. Not the greatest footage in the world, but it is footage nonetheless. I just feel like I owe my band members something, or the channel members something. So you see, this is the Hard Rock Cafe. So, anyways. You can get all that if you decide to become a channel member. I just feel like I need to show that. But yeah, those were our performances at the Hard Rock and the Raindrop Inn, or vice versa, however you want to put it. Really good time over the weekend. And one lesson that I learned is I've heard people say, don't meet your heroes. And not that necessarily somebody that I met over the weekend was my hero, but you do learn that no matter what position people are in, no matter where they are, who you think they are, they're still fallible people, just like you and myself. And that's okay. It's kind of a humbling lesson because you do learn that, yeah, dude, it's bad. Some of the shit that went down. And Kevin, yes, I will hit you up after the show, but I think you might be interested in the story that I'm kind of telling here, but telling without telling. But regardless, yeah, we got a lot of compliments both nights, so that's really, really cool. And I'm hoping before our next show, we're opening for Tommy Vext on November 13th at the Raindrop Inn. I'm hoping that we're gonna have a new song out by then. I will not make promises, but that's what I'm pushing for. I'm ready to go. Just gonna need to see if everybody else is on the same page. That's not up to me. That's up to four other absolutely amazing and wonderful people that I'm beyond blessed to play in a band with. So weird. I'm sure everybody's seen it at this point. And if you listen to any other podcast that's kind of like in our general sphere, you're gonna notice that they've probably played the whole clip, and I don't have it lined up here, but of everybody calling the Republicans weird. I do find it kind of funny that after almost 10 years of calling everybody to the right of Bernie Sanders a Nazi and just a racist, a bigot, a homophobe, that now they're going for, let me check my notes here. Flip it over. Weird. I mean, like, you almost can't make this stuff up, man. It is hilarious. I mean, like, yeah, I guess they're weird, but I mean, what do you call people who are telling you about transforming children, to put it under YouTube-friendly guidelines? I don't necessarily consider those people not weird. I would say those people are probably more weird. Sorry, hopefully you guys don't hear my dog chewing on a toy. But yeah, I would definitely consider those people to be more weird than regular blue collar people. Like, even JD Vance kind of grew up a little bit normal. Like, my understanding was he grew up under a single mom and had eventually became a Catholic and then married a Indian woman, which, okay, the dissident right bros are losing their shit over this. But he went on to have a wonderful family and now is the vice president. So I don't know. If you ask me, that kind of resembles somebody like me. I mean, I grew up with a single mom and kind of went on to make something of myself. Weird is a huge backtrack and an inversion on what's typically normal. Yeah, but that's what I mean. Like, you spent 15 years throwing everything at the wall. And I mean, probably even longer than that. But now that racist, homophobe, Nazi, all this stuff didn't work. I know what'll get them. Weird. It's about to get weird. Yeah, dude. I mean, yeah, I mean, I'm fucking weird, dude. I'm a mechanic who plays guitar, who's a radical libertarian and who likes to lift heavy stuff. And, like, I don't fit in any one neat box, but neither do, like, most other people, and that's fine. Like, there's probably groups and people that each of us identify with a little bit more than another, but, like, we're all kind of weird in our own way. So I don't understand why they thought this one was sticking. I like, it's not even like a good thing to like lean into either. So I'm surprised it really, like, I mean, not that it necessarily took off, but like that it was pushed and they thought that would be effective. Like, once again, after all the years of just throwing everything at the wall, now it's finally, oh, weird. This will get them. But clearly that didn't sink quite well. So I just think it's hilarious. But we do live in weird times. If you would have asked me 6 months ago if I thought Joe Biden was dropping out, I still didn't think he was going to. It's not necessarily a surprise because of how senile he is, but I figured the Democrats would have kind of sank with the ship, so to speak, as in like they were going to run Biden over the finish line whether they wanted to or not. But I mean, as we could see, they decided, all right, well, we can't do this anymore, because I don't think it was Biden's choice, because up until literally like a day or two before they finally threw him off, he was still saying that he was going to run. So, it does look like some shady shit happened, and it really shouldn't be any surprise about, the way the Democrats do things, especially when you start thinking about like the whole Bernie in 2016 thing, and then in 2020. I mean, it was just abundantly clear that the Democrats do whatever the hell they want to do, And like, I think the RNC is kind of at that point now, at least with Trump. And like, we could talk about where they're different and which one's better. That's, you know, a whole other conversation that we can have. But I don't know why a lot of people are surprised with some of the stuff that the Democrats are pulling after like everything they've done. And this kind of goes to like the Trump lawsuits too, which I've long said are just like political circus. And I still believe they are. I mean, they're great fundraising tools. I mean, look at all the money that Elon's given Trump and that all his donors are giving him, and then the base is giving him, and then the DNC obviously fundraises off this too. I mean, this is just like a cash cow for everybody involved. And that's why Trump is so important for politics right now. And he says some good stuff. He says some of the right stuff, but at the same time, he really kind of keeps the wheels of the political machine turning, because he really activates the Democrats in a way that they weren't really activated before. And then he also really activates his own base in a way that they weren't really that activated and passionate before. I mean, they really, I've said it for a while now, and I don't know if people really kind of understand what I'm getting at, but Trump really taught Republicans the progressive lesson, and that's you support your candidate and his power at all costs. Which, if you had somebody that I think was a little bit more closely aligned with like small government, you know, maybe you could say Christian values, let's say, then I could see how that would actually be a good thing. But Trump really isn't that, and he doesn't have any kind of guiding ideology. I mean, he's just kind of like whoever kisses his ass first, you know, gets first pick of the litter, essentially. I mean, we saw that with his picks for Secretary of State and then the people who he's still picking. So I don't want to say optimistic, but intrigued might be the right word to see how this whole situation with J.D. Vance goes. And this kind of goes to the whole J.D. Vance being weird, right? But at the same time, the whole PayPal mafia deal, it says my reception's going down, so hopefully it doesn't affect it too much. Yeah, sometimes when my wife, or when it rains, my Wi-Fi tends to take a crap. But when it comes to the PayPal mafia stuff, where J.D. Vance is kind of a protege of Peter Thiel, and then an underling of like Mark Andreessen, David Sachs, and a lot of like these big tech bro kind of guys, I don't know what that portends for the future. I'm a little bit of a pessimist, and I believe that they're going to be cracking down on more people like me and a lot of the guys in the dissident right who are very anti-Israel, rightfully so. Like, these are my kind of people. I like these guys. I agree with these guys on a lot, if not almost everything. I think they're next on the chopping block. I think that is people who dissent against Israel are next on the chopping block under a Trump administration, because Trump back in, I think it was 2019, passed anti-BDS legislation, and a lot of governors followed suit throughout the last couple of years. And then, as you could see, this gets us into our next point, where basically they're all calling everybody who disagrees, or doesn't even disagree, but is like, is perceived as disagreeing with, you know, the mainstream Zionist talking points on Israel, they're called anti-Semitic instantly. Will all of these presidential options, I've ordered a mold of my penis to fuck myself. Yeah, oh man, I'll give you one of those. Yeah, dude, no kidding though. I really don't see, this is the first election that I've ever been like, dude, I have zero desire to vote. I don't know how people are still like excited over this kind of stuff. I understand everybody wants to believe in like a hero and they want to say that Trump's their guy, but like, I don't know how you can objectively look at the entire time that he was president and think that he's still on your team when he designated and put so many people in power who like weren't on our side, if you will. I once again, I hear the argument for the PayPal mafia kind of guys, but I just, with Trump, he's so unpredictable, and not in like the way that I think he's going to blow up the world, in the way that the vast majority of the time he has no idea what he's doing, and just generally the establishment that is against him. And for those who are just listening, I'm using air quotes, because let's face it, Trump is the Republican establishment at this point. He just generally ends up walking the way that the worst people in our government want him to go, whether that be by hook or by crook. That's just kind of how it shakes out. And I don't think having the PayPal mafia, Vivek, Elon, Peter Thiel, all of these guys, I don't think even having them behind him is going to change that, because he still is very gullible. And let's face it, he's kind of a retard when it comes to a lot of stuff. So I don't see the PayPal Mafia being that meaningful change that's going to bring us to, you know, to paradise. And maybe I'm strawmanning some people's positions. And if I am, I'm sorry. I do know plenty of people who would probably be more that I could have a very fruitful conversation with this about. I think optimism is unwarranted until we start seeing serious results and we see Trump saying that, you know, I'm not going to go to war with Iran, which he doesn't seem to want to say. In fact, he seems to be signaling quite the opposite, because everybody who disagrees with him on Israel, or once again, perceivingly, or is perceived as disagreeing with him on Israel, he calls him a Palestinian. He called Joe Biden a Palestinian. He called Bob Menendez a Palestinian. That dude has received more AIPAC aid than almost anybody else. Like, come on, man. Get real. Everybody who disagrees with you isn't a Palestinian. I mean, I was going to tweet this out today, but like, I wish there was some kind of like pro Hamas faction in the government, because then we could have like a conversation about all the aid to Israel. Yeah, dude, it's fucking bad. All right, I'm gonna run an ad real quick, because I got some shit floating around in here. So here we go. All right, guys, we are going to take a quick break from the show to tell you about the show's sponsor. We are now brought to you by Fox and Sons Coffees. You can see right here, I got the Den Blend Dark. Really enjoy that. I've been drinking a lot of their Brazil Honey Prep. Right here, as you can hear, there's not a lot of beans left in it because I've been drinking it quite a bit. Just to tell you a little bit about Fox and Sons, why I support them and why you should too, is that Steven had started the company up in Michigan to help teach his son about entrepreneurship. I'm all about that, and I do firmly believe that in order to spread liberty in our lifetimes, we have to support those who support similar values as us. And Steven does support all the same libertarian values that I bring and talk about on the show a lot. So go to foxandsons.com, use code Kyle at checkout to get 15% off of orders $25 or more, and there's always free shipping whenever you place an order that is more than $37.99. Find their coffee absolutely fantastic, and I'm sure you will too. So one more time, go to foxandsons.com, use code Kyle at checkout to get yourself a little discount, let them know I sent you, and support the coffee that supports you. All right, guys, thanks. Back to the show. All right, and there we are. So for those listening, Scott Pressler tweeted out today, Hamas controls the Democrat Party. I said what I said. And I tweeted back to him, you are impressively stupid. He said, thank you. But then I said, who are the top few names and what party do they belong to? When I linked Open Secrets, which is Following the Money in Politics, and they actually do pretty good work. And there you could see literally the top three recipients of AIPAC aid are Democrats. Like, there is no pro-Hamas fucking party in America. To even imply that is absolutely ridiculous. Joe Biden has been more than happy to send Israel everything they got. He has been a career-long Zionist. It's not like this is a new development, and it's not like it's even just like, oh, well, he paid him. Sam, who is an awesome guy, illegitimate scholar who's been on the show before, and I host Five Till Midnight with, he posits that the reason why AIPAC has to pay Democrats more than Republicans, because Republicans are more ideologically Zionist, and Democrats have to be paid. I don't know how true that is, because once again, there are 38 states here in the United States that have anti-BDS legislation on the books. You can, or if you work for the government, you have to sign a contract and a pledge that says you will not criticize Israel. Pennsylvania is one of them, but our governor is, let's face it, he is Jewish. So that's not to say that Israel and Jewish people are like the same thing. There's separation here, because there are plenty of anti-Zionist Jewish people. But it's just ridiculous when you see people try to say things like this, because once again, the entire Democrat establishment has really done everything for Israel and more, and specifically Joe Biden. And there's always that clip, or the clip that I'm always reminded of, where Joe Biden basically says, He's like, if I were a Jew, I'd be a Zionist. But then my father told me I did not need to be a Jew to be a Zionist, because I am. And then he also said something, I think it was, if there wasn't an Israel, America would have to create one. So, I mean, it's not like Joe Biden is some anti-Israel president. He's really not. And I guess to move over to Kamala Harris, if you look up Kamala AIPAC speech, in fact, you know what, let me see if I can actually do this right here for you guys. Show this tab instead. Let's go Kamala AIPAC speech. There we go. Yeah, AIPAC, March 28th, 2017. Yeah, you could find her speech from 2017 where she was, you know, really fluffing Israel. I mean, right there. So, and this kind of leads me to the other point I wanted to talk about tonight. Put that up here. So AF Post, they just shared a screenshot of a bunch of people tweaking out because they're saying that Kamala is pro Hamas or something like that, which is just absolutely ridiculous. Ben Shapiro said, and this is after the revelation of Kamala Harris picking Tim Walz, the former Minnesota governor, as her vice president and her running mate. So my understanding was it was between Josh Shapiro, the governor here in Pennsylvania, and Tim Walz. She went with Tim Walz. And Republicans are trying to run to, if you want to run with this paradigm, they're running to the left of a lot of the left on the identity politics spectrum and saying that Kamala Harris picked Tim Walz because he's not Jewish. So therefore, she's an anti-Semite. You can't have a Jewish person in the cabinet, although that is absolutely hilarious because there are a lot of Jewish people that are in the Democratic Party and in Joe Biden's cabinet. And once again, I'm not here to focus on the race of the people. I'm here to dispute the idea that the Democrat Party is the home of like anti-Semites or something like that. I threw out a tweet once saying that like I wish there was like an anti-Semitism problem, because then we'd be able to have a serious conversation about funding in Israel. And once again, I don't want people to go hate other people for any reason. That's not what I'm here to do, but I'm just here to dispel bullshit. And because that this what's going on right here is fucking bullshit. Let's just start with the fact that Kamala Harris's husband is literally Jewish. He is Jewish. She married a Jewish man, which once again, that's fine. But how can you claim she's an anti-Semite when she married somebody who is Jewish? It's like calling J.D. Vance racist or that he hates Indians or something like that when his wife is an Indian. I mean, if you are going to seriously tell me that these people made a lifelong career of hidden racism when they married people who they supposedly hate for immutable characteristics, you're jumping through a lot of hoops, and to be honest, I think you're a fucking retard. So let's read some of these tweets. Ben Shapiro, drunken Kamala mistakenly picks wrong Shapiro for VP. She realized just in time and picked the guy who wasn't a Jew. Got to keep the pro Hamas base in the tent. Tom Cotton said, let's be honest, Kamala's the most anti-Israel member of Biden's team, always siding with Hamas and Iran's interests. Shapiro and Walz's views on Israel aren't that different, but Harris created or catered to a pro-Hamas anti-Semitic base who opposed Shapiro because he's Jewish. Ilya Shapiro, the Walz selection shows how deep the Dems' anti-Semitism problem runs. Mike Solana, she really said, I don't know if Shapiro's Jewish though. Let's go with the pro-crime communist. I think people are being a little hyperbolic when it comes to some of this stuff. On CNN, Van Jones just said some of the anti-Semitism has been marbled into the Democratic Party. Ari Fleischer, the left did it to Joe Lieberman. Now they did it to Josh Shapiro. The D Party is not the home for strong supporters of Israel. It's time for the Jewish community to recognize the power of the D Party rests with its anti-Israel progressive base. And finally, Newt Gingrich. It is amazing that Vice President Harris had a chance to move toward the center, pick her governor of Pennsylvania, whose 19 electoral votes, I think he meant to say votes, could easily be the margin of victory and who is closer to the center than she is, and skipped him in part of anti-Semitic opposition from pro-Palestinian wing of the Democratic Party for hard left governor of Minnesota, who had been endorsed by Bernie Sanders. We learned a lot about her in that process. Avoid conflict, appease the left. Well, you know what? Let's be honest here. I don't think that even if she did pick Shapiro, that people would even really care, because let's be honest, there isn't an anti-Semitism problem in America. The anti-Semites you see are just assholes on Twitter. I hate to break it to you. If you browse Twitter long enough, you're going to find some people who are going to say some mean things about the Jews. I'm not endorsing it. I'm just saying that's what it is. If you look at Twitter long enough, you're going to find some people who hate black people too. And if you look at Twitter even longer, you're going to find some people who hate white people too. Because guess what? People go on the internet and they act like assholes sometimes. That just is what it is. So it's weird, right? So this was from Responsible Statecraft, which, sorry. They write some really good anti-imperialist articles, but this seems kind of weird, especially coming from someone like Daniel Larrison, who I feel like probably knows better, but maybe there's something that I don't know. I would have to like talk with some people some more, but this just seems a little weird. So I don't agree with this. I'm just reading what they have here, and we'll kind of cover it a little bit more. Harris picks Walls, a Midwesterner with anti-war credentials, which seems a little bold a statement. It appears the vice president recognized that Governor Shapiro, who criticized Israel-Gaza protesters, would divide Democrats. Vice President Kamala Harris, this was written today by Daniel Larrison. Vice President Kamala Harris has selected Minnesota Governor Tim Walz as her running mate. Harris's decision followed a period of intense lobbying on behalf of several candidates, including the other finalists, Pennsylvania Governor Josh Shapiro. Of the two, Walz was the preferred candidate of many progressives and labor organizations, and he had a record of military and public service in the Army, National Guard, and Congress before he was elected to his current position. He has served as governor of Minnesota since 2019. Walz is more progressive than Shapiro, but his selection appears to face little resistance from any major constituency within the party. And once again, the idea that there's some like major Hamas influence in the Democrat Party is just, it's pure fantasy. It's so funny to even hear people like posit that out there, because once again, who funds a lot of campaigns here in America? It's not Hamas. And to pretend that Hamas, who can't even control Gaza, who's getting wiped off the fucking map by Israel, is somehow leading the most powerful political party in probably the entire world, I think you are out of your mind if you sincerely believe that. Anyways. Spurning the calls of Democratic centrists to pick Shapiro, Harris seems to have heeded warnings from progressives that adding Shapiro to the ticket would fracture party unity because of his attacks on protesters opposed to the war in Gaza and his earlier support for anti-BDS boycott, divestment, and sanctions, in case you guys don't know what those are, laws. If that is right, it seems that foreign policy-related issues played an indirect role in Walz's selection, and that Shapiro had become too controversial a choice because of his derision for campus protesters. My understanding is that Shapiro had actually assisted and spread some of the incidents that went on campuses saying that, they were anti-Semitic. Walz didn't have a lot to say about the protest, but he showed much greater respect for anti-war demonstrators when he did. We've got to bring these people back in and listen to what they're saying. Take them seriously. He also expressed sympathy with Jewish students and said, they're telling us they feel unsafe. We need to believe them. And I do believe them. Walz appeared to express understanding about the sizable, uncommitted vote in Minnesota's Democratic primary from those opposing Biden's Gaza policy, saying they're asking to be heard, and that's what they should be doing. Their message is clear, and is clear that they think this is an intolerable situation, that we can do more. And to criticize Daniel here, who I do have great respect for, because once again, I know he's done Scott Horton's show quite a bit. I think he's wrong here. I don't think optimism or even calling him an anti-war voice is really warranted, but once again, maybe he has a little bit more information. I briefly read through this article before we went live. Wall is a better candidate for their dialectical strategy, the retarded pro-Hamas Democrats versus the patriotic Zionist GOP. The elites want Trump to win this year. They wouldn't push anti-Semitic left narrative if they wanted Harris to win. Yeah, you know what? I agree. And JC, I'm glad you could read my mind here. But yeah, let me give you that. I do think the establishment is kind of gearing up for a Trump win. And that's why I remember reading something where it said Democrats basically resigned to a Trump victory. Kind of hard to argue that. And when you kind of look at it from a 50,000 foot view of all the lawsuits and how everything seemed to just fly off Donald Trump and he was fine every single time with all these lawsuits, it's kind of hard to make the case that they were really trying to take him down. In fact, it looks like more and more they were trying to lift him up, which is the strategy that they used back in 2016. Walz has some foreign policy experience from his time as a House member. He was first elected to Congress in 2006, running on opposition to the Iraq War, and voted for withdrawal of U.S. troops in 2007. Breaking with the Obama administration in 2013, he opposed military action in Syria over the Red Line episode. A lot of people did, and I think some of that was like opportunism. Hard to say. In 2017, Walz was an early co-sponsor of one of the first House War Powers Resolution, directing the president to remove U.S. forces from involvement in Saudi coalition war in Yemen, which, as we know today, is called the genocide in Yemen, which I believe they killed over 500,000 babies. I mean, it's absolutely horrible. The violence slowed down a little bit, but now, it slowed down back in like January 2022, but then as of recently, since the October 7th and the war in Gaza kind of started picking up, then we can kind of see that situation escalating a little bit. On the other hand, Walz initially said he was cautiously optimistic about the 2011 intervention in Libya in its first weeks, but added, I think our engagement needs to be very narrow. It needs to be very defined. It needs to have a clear out time. That seems to be like the Ron DeSantis kind of approach to the Ukraine war, where he basically said, like, we need to have a focus and a goal, rather than just saying we shouldn't be doing that at all. Walz seems to be generally skeptical of military intervention, but he is not opposed to intervention in every case. On Israel and Palestine, Walz has taken a conventional democratic position throughout his career. He expressed support for a two-state solution, a ceasefire in Gaza. Like most members of Congress, he consistently voted for aid for Israel when he was in the House. Come on. To say he's some anti-Semite and that's because he hates Jews is ridiculous. He has also supported U.S. diplomatic initiatives elsewhere in the region. One of his more notable votes in Congress was in support of the Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action, the JCPOA, in 2015. He said the agreement was the best chance we had in years to halt the Iranian nuclear program. I've covered this on the show quite a bit. Iran has no nuclear weapons program. They have a civilian nuclear program, and in order for them to enrich uranium to the correct degree to make an actual nuclear weapon, they would have to enrich it at about 93%. Right now, I believe they're sitting at about 63%, which, funny enough, Trump had bashed the JCPOA for the longest time. Well, you know what? Let me finish this article, and I'll kind of cover the rest of that. Adding Walz to the ticket gives Harris a seasoned running mate with some real anti-war credentials. How much Walz will influence Harris's own foreign policy views remains to be seen, but on many of the important foreign policy issues of the last two decades, Walz has been on the side of diplomacy rather than war. Once again, I think optimism here is very unwarranted, especially when he had, you know, voted to send more aid to Israel every single time. Now, to get back to the JCPOA, basically the Iran deal is what it's called. Trump had criticized Obama for the Iran deal, saying that it was a very, very bad deal. But there's so much nuance when people talk about Iran and like the funding that supposedly Joe Biden just handed them, billions of dollars, and then also the supposed money that we gave them. So when you talk about some of this stuff, people will frame the money that they may make from sanctions relief as actual money that we're giving them. This happened, I think Maj Trey put out an article or shared an article saying that Biden was given a whole bunch of money to Iran, but literally it was just like proposed and theoretical income if sanctions were relieved. The other thing is that the last time that they went to go give Iran money, this was money that was originally stolen from Iran, right? So should we not give Iran money back if we stole that money off of them? And then much more to that point, that transfer was actually halted in Qatar. So they never received that money, and that was because of October 7th. So, and more to the point of Trump, you know, really being against the JCPOA and the Iran deal, the Iran deal was actually a good deal because they complied with all the inspections. They got sanctions relief. It really, it was like a mutually beneficial situation. And Iran really wasn't planning to build a nuke, and they weren't enriching uranium to the degree that they are right now. In fact, back then, they were only like 2 or 3%, if I recall correctly. But as soon as Trump ripped up the JCPOA and left the Iran deal, what'd they start doing? Enriching uranium. And what does the U.S. do? We generally teach countries that if you have nuclear weapons, we will not fuck with you. It's sad, but it's true. Why do you think we haven't, you know, really just gone all in on war with Russia? Mutually assured destruction. Why do you think we haven't gone in all in on war with China? Mutually assured destruction. Why do you think we haven't gone all in on war with North Korea? Mutually assured destruction. The countries who have nukes, they get sanctioned. But I mean, at this point, you know, with parallel economies and BRICS and stuff like that, the sanctions don't really mean as much as they used to. And really, the sanctions actually tend to hurt America's, or, you know, Americans more often than not. Listen to my episode last week with Anya Parampil, where we talked about that a little bit, where the sanctions on gas from Venezuela and Russia, really, that hurt America more than anybody else. That's why gas prices have been high. And I think some of that's inflation, too. And I think some of it's because of the Biden regime's anti-energy policies. But let's be honest, you know, sanctioning gas from other countries that we would normally otherwise trade with, that does hurt our supply of gasoline. That's why gas prices go up. Funny how sanctions typically don't hurt the country, they hurt us. And really, I mean, Russia, they're fine. I mean, they're dealing just fine with the sanctions on them now from the U.S. Venezuela is a little bit of a different story, but that's because, you know, they are, I think, one of the largest oil reserves in the entire world. So, go back to last week's episode to hear Anya talk a little bit more about Venezuela. It was really, really interesting. But I think that's all I got tonight. I just want to cover that. We do live in weird times, man. just be calling, you know, the Democratic Party the party of Hamas is just absolutely ridiculous. I've never been more excited to not vote. And I'm going to be putting up a selfie the day that the election is, which I think is 2 days after my 30th birthday. I know I'm getting old. I'm just going to say I stayed home today. There's nobody I want to vote for. I hate Trump. I hate Kamala Harris. I don't like Chase Oliver. Jill Stein is probably one of the only decent anti-war candidates, but there's probably many, many other, you know, issues I disagree with her on. So that's, you know, off the table for me. So just not voting this year. And I threw this out there too, but I figured I would repeat it here. Everybody's emotions are sky high right now because you're being force-fed propaganda at the speed of light right now, right? Everything you see is meant to fucking manipulate you some way or another. And there's so many political narratives that are being pushed and shoved down your throat. And that's specifically because it is an election year. If you're not voting, or if you have somebody that you want to vote for, even if you want to vote for Trump, or even if, I don't know why you're listening to this, but even if you want to vote for Kamala Harris, do what the fuck you want to do. I can't stop you. Nobody else can stop you. Nobody is going to make me vote for anybody. Nobody can make you vote for anybody. This is such like a silly, weird thing. And I've heard Dave Smith say it, but I've really started to think about it a lot more. You have like a 1 in 150 million chance of moving something in one direction or another. And like to all the people who think that the 2020 election was stolen, maybe it was, maybe it wasn't. I don't know. I don't really care. They're telling you that the election was stolen, but if we just do the same thing we did in 2020, then surely the result will be different. I know people throw that Einstein quote around about insanity, but it's kind of applicable here. So, do I think there's merit to that? I don't know. Up to you. You decide. So, sorry for the pauses and stuff like that. I'm a little plugged up, coming up with like a head cold or something, or head or chest cold, something like that. But hopefully this episode was enjoyable. Make sure you guys hit all the links below. Common Crown's got one more show coming up, and hopefully we have some new music out for you. I'm waiting for my guest to confirm for tomorrow. It'll be a cool conversation. And then next week, I got a pretty cool guest as well. And go check out, I did Johnny Vedmore's show. It was a pretty short section, but we mostly talked about like Israel, Venezuela, and then like foreign policy stuff, a lot of the stuff that I like to talk about quite a bit. 5 till midnight, cognitive vigilance. We have Buck Johnson coming on Thursday, which I'm super stoked for because he is a dear friend of mine and just an all-around good guy. So I think that'll be a really, really cool show. Common Crown, cognitive vigilance, 5 till midnight, obviously here. And Post Zero, which I will probably not be on this Sunday, but make sure you go check those guys out anyways. It's always a good time with all those guys, and I've really enjoyed doing that and hosting it. So thank you guys so much. And hopefully everything's good for you guys. And if everything goes right and my guest confirms, I'll see you guys tomorrow. And if not, I'll see you next week. Take care and thanks so much.
Save big on everything for your next project when you shop at Menards. Finish up projects with GE-branded silicone sealants. Tub and tile silicone is 100% waterproof and offers same-day water readiness, making it perfect to use in kitchens and bathrooms. Shop our selection of GE sealants in-store and on Menards.com and save big. Plus, check out the weekly flyer to view all of our other great deals happening this week. Save big.